Hello there, and welcome back to the SEC Haters Podcast. With me today are my compatriots. On my left, he likes his women like he likes his coffee, without a penis. Andrew, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right.
And on my right, he likes his coffee like he likes his women, with a penis. Nigel, how have you been doing today so far?
SEC is down, so I'm doing great.
All right. The penis in your coffee was large enough?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, all of the best.
Well, while we're on to the subject, this is going to be our predictions for games for week three. And this episode is brought to you by penis. It's that thing that dangles down all the way to the ground. Depending on how tall you are. Anyway, moving forward. So, as we stated earlier, we only have so much time on this podcast. We'd like to bring you all the games, but we're going to cut it short and just focus on the major ones that are available, so or the key games that we're going to be looking at this week. So I'd like to start off, guys, with Ole Miss versus Alabama. Ole Miss is obviously a scoring sensation for the first two games, although they haven't really played anyone of note. And Alabama has struggled with their quarterback position, but pretty much everywhere else, their defense, their running game has looked fantastic. Now, Andrew, I'm going to start with you because I know, Nigel, I know what your opinion is. You're just going to shit all over Alabama. So, Andrew, I want to hear what your thoughts on the matter are. Can Ole Miss's offense overcome the juggernaut that is Alabama's defense?
You know, the game's at Bryant-Denny in Tuscaloosa, so that's always going to be a big part and play a big role. It's going to be Chad Swag Kelly's first big start on the road. You know, they almost really hasn't played anybody, and they've kind of done what you expect them to do against the teams they've played, but Alabama's a completely different monster. I think, especially after last year, I think Alabama's going to play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I think they're going to do it. You know, Alabama showed how great they were on defense in closing down that vaunted Wisconsin run game. You know, it's a different offense at Ole Miss, but I just don't think the weapons are there. And I think Alabama's just too talented on defense. You know, outside of Coker, Bateman, Saban's long-lost son, I don't know, whoever comes out and plays quarterback, outside of all of them absolutely collapsing, I think Alabama wins this one.
Nigel?
This is a hard pick. This is fairly hard. Andrew made some good points about, you know, Alabama just being so much better on the special teams and defensive side of the ball. Ole Miss has been running up the score like crazy. Will we see Kandichi on the offensive side of the ball? Who knows? Because apparently he's the J.J. Watt of college football. You know, can do it all. I'm going to actually go with Ole Miss on this one. I think that you don't go from 70 points to 7 points. I like Alabama's offense so far, but I don't think they'll have enough to keep up with Ole Miss. Just to knock the boat, I'm going with Ole Miss on this one.
Well, y'all know my stance on the matter. As an Alabama fan, as a person who comes from a family of Alabama fans who will stab me if I pick against Alabama, I'm going to go ahead and say Alabama will win. And it's not just because I will get stabbed if I say otherwise. It's because it's really hard to go against Alabama because they've only lost, that I can think of, 3 or 4 games over the past 2 years. It'll be close, no doubt in my mind, but I still say Alabama will probably win something like 23-21 against Ole Miss at home. Next matchup, another one that I think Andrew is excited about because it's America's team or perhaps even Jesus' team, BYU going up against a UCLA team who has blown the top off of everyone they've played. So again, I guess, Andrew, I'm going to lead off with you. What do you think going into this matchup? Is BYU going to pull it out?
You know, I want to pick BYU. I like Tanner Mangum. I think he stepped into Taysom Hill's shoes really well. I still don't think he offers the kind of athlete in the option run game that BYU likes to do. The game is in Los Angeles at UCLA, which, you know, is obviously going to play into their hands. I think, you know, I think Josh Rosen, as a true freshman, has shown he can sling the ball around. And as much as I think and want the Cougars to be the team of destiny, I just think UCLA is too talented.
Nigel,
I'm gonna we're playing with house money right now. Let's go with BYU. You know, there's always a team every year that makes noise from the outside. Boise State, who BYU just beat, is usually that team that makes the noise. But maybe this year is going to be BYU's turn to make the noise. They went, they dropped out of a conference to do their own thing, and let's see if that's for the best. I think BYU is a legit team. I think Rosen is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to mess up eventually, right? He's a true freshman. Just let's go with the odds. Let's go with BYU.
I, too, will take BYU, and I'm going to be honest. I really have no reason other than I just like the guy's name, Tyler Magnum. Like, how can you go against a guy named Tyler Magnum? He sounds like the star of an 80s movie where he'll just show up and, like, blow up the Golden Gate Bridge and take down the eco-terrorists and with his stylish hair.
Exactly. You can't pick against that kind of guy, right?
I have a hard time picking against a guy like that, you know? And like I said, there really isn't any rhyme or reason to it. I just think part of it's the name and part of it's kind of what you went into, Nigel. There's certain teams of destiny every year that just kind of come out of nowhere and surprise people, and BYU might be that team this year.
Yeah, Mangum wins this game. He will supplant Gordon Hayward as Mormon Jesus.
All right, so keep that in mind, fans out there. You may have to start a new religion depending on how this game goes. Moving forward, I'd like to talk about a game dear, close to my heart. No, wait, not my heart. What's that other thing? My ace. LSU versus Auburn. I couldn't really care less which one of these teams ends up winning. I hate both of them. I'm kind of hoping that a meteorite strikes the stadium. But I know that's not going to happen. We got to pick one of those teams to win. I'll start with Nigel this time. What are your views on the subject?
Which teams are we picking? I'm totally spaced there. I'm sorry.
I'm glad to know that you really care about this podcast, Nigel. Auburn, LSU.
Oh, no wonder I didn't want to pick a winner. We can't really win with this game. You know, I'm going to actually go with LSU. Johnson is going to continue the turnover machine that he has started, turnover machine 2015. LSU actually is legit on defense. I think we can we saw that with Mississippi State. They actually handled a very good QB and Dak Prescott pretty well. You know, Johnson doesn't even offer the running options that, you know, Prescott can fall back on. I think LSU runs wins this game running away.
Andrew?
I'm going to have to agree with you. We saw how poorly Auburn's defense played Jacksonville State last week, and Jacksonville State didn't have Leonard Fournette. So, I think, like you said, I think LSU runs the ball really well. I think Brandon Harris doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I think Jeremy Johnson makes a lot of mistakes, and I think LSU wins it walking away.
I think that an FBI investigation blows the cover off of a drug smuggling ring being run out of the LSU locker room that's being supported by the Auburn athletic administrator somehow. And the FBI comes in and arrests everybody. I don't want to pick this game, man. Auburn loses, LSU wins, because God, Auburn couldn't have looked any worse than they did last week. I hope both these teams end up in jail somehow or another. Okay.
And we can finally get Auburn out of the rankings after this game. Come on, LSU.
Well, at least that's something we can cheer for. All right, the next game. Before we move on to our upset picks, I'm going to look at something. I guess you could call it a rivalry game, but both of these teams have kind of been in the odd and out for the past few years, so I'm not sure what to make of them. We're taking USC, who, again, hasn't really played anybody of note this year, and Stanford, who lost to Northwestern in week one. So, honestly, I don't know what to make of either of these programs at this point. The Pac-12 has been such a mess. Nigel, who are you taking in this game, and why?
I mean, and I just crapped on him in the last segment. Kessler always shows up against the inferior opponents. Obviously, Stanford's going to be a little bit better than an inferior opponent. And, I mean, Stanford, I guess they righted the ship. I didn't see their box score from the game this past weekend. But Stanford made a name for itself beating USC. They did something that somebody hadn't done in a long time. I'm going to go with Stanford just because I think this is how you right the ship again. You go back to beating USC, and then that gives you good vibes for the rest of the year. That sets up Northwestern to have a very quality win. Definitely. I think that I'm going to go with Stanford just because Kessler, I don't think he just doesn't show up in the big games. I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe it's the level of competition, but I'm going to go with them.
I think USC wins this game. I think USC's got exponentially more weapons on offense than Northwestern did, and I think they throw the ball a lot better. I think Kessler makes the throws. If I'm the Pac-12, I'm absolutely scared to death of Adoree Jackson. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that can make plays with the ball in his hands.
I mean, Eddie, what does he play? Does he play everything? Is that kind of his?
You name it. Return man, corner, wide out, just give him the ball.
Does he coach himself? I'm pretty sure he coaches himself, right?
Leave him in the open field, let him make some plays. But, I think USC, we're finally seeing USC coming off of the sanctions, being able to build some depth, and have the talent that they're used to having, and I think USC wins it.
I think, assuming that the USC coach doesn't oversleep and then fall back into alcoholism because he's just so depressed, get in a car, try to drive into the stadium, end up running over a large portion of his bench in the process, and then have to have the athletic coordinator for USC bail him out of another jam. Barring that situation, I think USC is going to win this game. I really have no reason to think they wouldn't. Stanford has kind of shat the bed early on in the year. And granted, USC hasn't played anybody, but they still have a lot of talent. And I think people need to respect that.
We'll see.
I would like that scenario to happen, though, where the athletic coordinator ends up running over a large portion of his bench drunkenly. That would be the best outcome in my mind.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we're going to move on to the upset picks. So you guys swore up and down you did not pick the same upset. So I'm going to give it to Andrew to start off and piss off Nigel's day by picking the same upset. Andrew, who do you got on upset alert this week?
I think after, even though they came out and absolutely dominated a lower-tier opponent, I think the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University Hokies are going to lose to Purdue this weekend. I think Hazel's finally started to try to build a little bit of program. They had a tough loss against Marshall in the first game, came out, took care of business against a lower-level opponent. I think Virginia Tech is kind of in a bit of a funk with Brandon Motley being the starter. He doesn't bring to the table what Michael Brewer does. And I think Purdue does enough to win the game. You know, they've got a history of spoiling some teams at home in West Lafayette, and I think it's going to be a tough place for the Hokies.
Okay, well, I think you're dreaming there, but that's as a legit pick as I can come up with. Nigel, what's your pick?
The pick, I finally decided. I settled on one. You know, I don't know why the one I didn't pick, I know why I like this team because I wanted to get back to relevance. But I'm going to go with Wyoming over Washington State. I don't know why. Wyoming is they haven't been good for a long time, for a very long time. But I don't know. This is going to be my upset for the week. It's not a marquee game. We probably will forget about it till next week. But that's going to be my upset alert.
All right. I don't even know that you can call that an upset.
Wyoming, that'll be a great win for Craig Bohl in his second year at Wyoming. He lost more games last year in his first year at Wyoming than he lost in his entire past 5 or 6 years at North Dakota State. So, you know, it'll be an interesting adjustment, you know, and that'd definitely be a big, big program helping win if the Cowboys can pull that one out.
So, hey, I'm rooting for him.
I think both of those teams are pretty bad. So, yeah, I think Wyoming's got a good shot there. Now, my upset pick, I think, is the only one of an unranked opponent over a ranked opponent. I'm going to say Boston College at home upsets Florida State. Because I watched a good portion of that game at Florida State last week. Florida State looked bad. The O-line was terrible. They couldn't get a block. Everett Golson, even though he wasn't getting blocked for, he does not look like a Heisman candidate at all. He doesn't even look like a mediocre quarterback. And the only saving grace there was that they got their running game going. And their defense played solid, but struggled so much because the offense kept putting them in bad situations over and over again. And you're looking at a Boston College team that is much better on offense than USF, will run the ball right at the defense, wear them down. I think Boston College has a very good chance of upsetting FSU at home. They almost upset them last year. So I think they've got a legit shot. Call me crazy, but I think it's going to happen. All right. And I'm going to shut y'all up before you get the chance to counterattack. So before we go on to the big matchup for us, which is going to be the Georgia Tech-Notre Dame game is the matchup we're going to focus on next week, I'd like to ask two betting questions. First off, since we already talked about these two games, which ones do y'all think will be closer, USC v. Stanford or Auburn versus LSU? Who will have the closer matchup of those two games? Andrew, I'll start with you.
I'm going to think Auburn-LSU just because I think USC is just that much better of a team. You know, plus, I mean, LSU is not a team that's really come to blow out a lot of teams. So, you know, I think LSU will run the ball. I think they'll score a good bit of points, but I think it'll be closer than the Cody Kessler to Adoree Jackson show for USC.
All right.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with LSU and Auburn also. Like he stated, you know, these teams aren't accustomed to putting up enough points to consider themselves a blowout, whereas if Stanford gets a rolling or USC gets a rolling, you know, it's easily a 20-plus point win.
I'm actually going to go with the USC-Stanford game just because I expect, after the performance that Auburn had last week, I expect them to get dominated. If LSU doesn't win that game by at least 30 points, I will be disappointed. And the other one, going into our key matchup, Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, we're looking at a Georgia Tech team that has put up 400 rushing yards against each opponent's face so far. And we're looking at a Notre Dame defense that has been very stout, holding Texas to only 60 rushing yards and Virginia to 126 rushing yards. So in going into that matchup, do we expect Georgia Tech to be able to put up more or less than 300 rushing yards in that game?
I go with more. You know, when we saw a Virginia team where they actually had to respect the pass, Virginia was able to average almost 5 yards a carry. I think, you know, it's going to be highly skewed because of Texas. Texas, they didn't have to respect the pass at all. And I'm not saying the QB that they're playing now would make them, you know, respect the pass a lot. But there was, I mean, Swoops was just not a good passer. They know with the QB that Georgia Tech's running out there, if they try to gear up for the, you know, the run just a little too much, he's going to throw it right over the top. And he's accurate enough and has enough comfortability over the past two games with his receivers that I think he'll, you know, he'll make them pay if they pay too much attention to, you know, the B back run. So,
and Andrew,
yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, the Notre Dame, you know, the Notre Dame defense has played well, but it's a different monster in terms of what Georgia Tech's done. You know, Georgia Tech really hasn't played anyone too talented on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, I question, you know, the big thing is the DC at Notre Dame's Brian Van Gorder. And Notre Dame played Navy last year, and Navy ran the ball 60 times for 336 yards against Notre Dame. And I like to think that Georgia Tech brings a lot more talent to the field than that Navy team does, and I think they're going to be above it. I think that, you know, Van Gorder's not really used to playing what Georgia Tech does well. I think Tech has brought a lot of weapons. I think the young kids at the skill positions, especially at A-back and at B-back for Georgia Tech, have really stepped up and really shown that they fit well into the offense and are able to do what's asked of them.
Yeah. Now, isn't Notre Dame missing their number one defensive tackle? Isn't he out for the year?
I believe they've got a couple injuries on defense.
So that, I think that'll be, I think if you're not good up the middle, that's what's going to hurt you the most with Tech. You know, and you can, Tech can obviously set you up a couple of ways to, you know, go with their strength, and then, you know, then they have you guess it, second guessing what you're doing. But, you know, if they could just straight up run it up the gut, and then everything else comes off of that, I mean, they're just going to have you guessing night and day. Obviously, it'll be at Notre Dame, so that's going to, you know, maybe play. That'll be the first home road game for a lot of the students, some of those young guys that you were talking about. But, you know, I agree. I have faith in Tech being able to run the ball. That's what they're good at.
All right. Well, then, since we're already on the subject matter, Nigel, who do you think is going to win that game?
Oh, I try not to get into the curse of being a homer. I know being a homer is easy, right? You go for the team that is your team, and if we get blown out, I will fully admit to being a homer. So I'm going to go with Tech.
I like how your whole reasoning is just because you don't want to be a homer, but they're going to win. All right, Andrew, yeah, got some.
I will fully admit to a homer. I think the Yellow Jackets win the game. I think the loss of Malik Zaire is going to hurt the Irish. I think the lack of depth at the running back slot with Bryant being injured and Torian Folston being out is going to hurt them. I think that it's going to allow Tech to roll coverage and play Will Fuller a little bit better, you know, double him over the top as well and take that option kind of out of the game. And I think, I don't think Van Gorder really has a great answer to stopping the Tech defense. You know, he showed he had trouble with it last year against Navy, and, you know, especially with Justin Thomas. I mean, Tech's so much more talented on offense than those Navy teams, and I don't think it ever gets to be a blowout, but I think it's a game that the Tech scores early and is able to win the game.
Okay. Well, respectfully, I'm going to take the other direction with this matchup. I think that Tech hasn't faced an opponent like Notre Dame thus far. It's certainly not on the road. And Tech has traditionally struggled on the road for its games. I think going away all the way up north to South Bend and going against a team that, even though they're missing their starting defensive tackle, their number one defensive tackle, they're still a very stout defense, something that Tech is going to struggle against. I think they're going to have a hard time moving the ball. And I think a lot of the youth that's on the offense is going to come to show. Like we saw last week, there were a lot of struggles with the ball in transition. I'm just not certain about this one. I think even though they're relying on their backup quarterback, Notre Dame's never been one of those programs that's had issues with falling back to, you know, their second or third string. So I think Notre Dame is going to come out, and I guess it wouldn't really be a surprise to many other people, but certainly shock some Tech fans out there.
I just want to point out the last time that the Yellow Jackets played in South Bend was 2007, where Tech walked out of the building with a 33-3 victory. It doesn't really hold any water because it was almost a decade ago, but hey, it's always fun to beat the Irish at home.
Rudy was offside.
Jimmy Clausen experience, though.
It was indeed the Jimmy Clausen experience.
Rudy was offside. That's all I got to say. Anyway, we thank you all for joining us for this our picks for week 3. We hope y'all enjoyed it. If you got any disagreements, feel free to contact us at noseecplease@gmail.com. Again, that is noseecplease@gmail.com. If you agree, if you disagree, if you have a game that you want us to pick for next week, please let us know. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining me, and we'll see y'all on the flip side.